Stop and Smell the Flowers by Ish and a Half, read by CookieMom6067. The first time Joe entered Nikki's bakery, the bells over the front door made a sound Nikki had never heard before. They were charmed to signal just who was entering his establishment. Polite, well-meaning customers had a particular ring, and there was a slightly different pitch when they came in hungry. Difficult and picky customers had another sound altogether, one that was shriller, more grating. And Nikki appreciated the lack of guesswork needed as to whether he should approach the counter with a genuine smile or a plastic one. The bells also recognized regulars. They had assigned Booker, owner of the bookshop down the street, an interesting combination of sounds, mostly based on the picky customer ring, since Sebastian all too often liked to goad Nikki about the superiority of French patisserie over Italian, but Nikki would never reveal that the man's ring also always came with overtones of hungry. He kept that little fact to himself, and it certainly did wonders to feed his smugness about the strength of his homeland's delicacies. "There is a reason the Genoese is the building block of French patisserie," he continually bragged to Booker. They had also given Niall, his only employee, a cheerful trill that always lifted Nikki's spirits. But even with those two, who were perhaps the people most often coming in and out of the bakery, other than Nikki himself, the bells had still taken some time to get to know them. Their chimes had fluctuated for a while before finally settling. That hadn't been the case with Joe, though this realization would only come much, much later. The unique ring, cheerful, lively, but with something more, some sort of deeper undertone to it that hadn't been immediately recognizable to Nikki, accompanying his entrance on his first time through the door, had been the exact same one to follow him out and to ring the next time, and the next, and the next. The bells had obviously known there was something special about Joe immediately. They were an excellent judge of character and had never been wrong before. Nikki probably would have given more thought as to what the new sound could mean had he actually heard it that first time. In his defense, he had been a bit distracted by having the man he'd been subtly watching through his shop window for the past week suddenly enter his bakery with a warm smile on his face, his very handsome face. He suspected that the person setting up across the street was quite attractive from the glimpses he'd gotten, but that had been from a vantage point of two sidewalk widths and two lanes of traffic away. Now, with only a counter between them? Well. Nikki found his focus pulled in too many different directions. There were the delightful lines that crinkled by the man's sparkling eyes, while his lips stretched wide with a warm grin buried in seemingly soft beard, all of which was a lovely compliment to the adorable unruliness of the curls peeking out from under an oddly charming backwards baseball cap. With all of that competing for his attention, the only sound Nikki had been aware of had been the slight buzzing in his ears. The man gave a small wave and said, "Hi, I'm Joe. I'm your new neighbor." Across the bakery, in its designated place of honor on the shelf, Nikki felt his sourdough starter let out a sudden gurgle. Young Niccolo had been a shy, reserved child. Though his parents had constantly encouraged him, or outright ordered him, to go outside and play with his brothers, to be active and adventurous and spend time the way other boys in the neighborhood did, he had always been drawn to the kitchen instead. He still remembers the day that he had found himself intensely captivated by his Nonna sourdough starter, quietly fermenting away in its jar on the counter. He had no idea how long he'd stood there just staring at it, trying to decipher what the tiny bursting bubbles were trying to tell him, but when Nonna came in, she understood immediately. Picking him up with a strength that belied her elderly appearance, she plopped him down on the kitchen island and declared, "Watch and learn, piccolo." And so he had. He had listened as she explained that her magic bonded particularly well with flour. He had watched as she kneaded her dough in specific formations. He absorbed all she told him about the effects that different herbs and fruits and flavors would have when incorporated into her creations. While she had experience in every conceivable area of the kitchen, pasta was the best channel for her specific magic. Naturally, Piccolo Niccolo was taught the proper way to make penne and fettuccine and everything in between, but it was only once he moved to baking that he was able to satisfy the itch that he'd always felt thrumming under his skin, but had never been able to put a name to. His parents had been less than thrilled at the way his magic had manifested, in their view, kitchen magic being the realm of women, but his sisters had no interest in spending time in the kitchen, and his nonna was just as happy to be able to pass her wisdom on to somebody. He hadn't realized how much their time together meant to her, or perhaps how annoyed she was with the rest of the family at their snubs, until after she had passed. She had left her best, much-loved recipes to all of her family members, but it had taken some time, as well as many failed attempts and ruined family gatherings, to reveal that crucial steps or ingredients had been deliberately omitted. Only Nicky received them in their full form, and he guarded them fiercely. The other valuable thing she had given him, aside from her knowledge, was some of her starter. It had traveled with him when he'd left home, accompanying him through his various apprenticeships at a number of bakeries, and when he finally opened up his own shop, a sourdough boule had been the first thing he made as a way to infuse his own magic into the new space. He'd felt the proud burbling in the starter all the way across the shop the instant that initial loaf had come out of the oven. It had turned out perfectly, and the kitchen must have appreciated the offering, because it took surprisingly little time for his magical energies to entrench themselves into every nook and cranny. From the front door's fussy keyhole that he always managed to turn smoothly, to the back door's hinges that squeaked something fierce for all the delivery people but never for him. The bakery was small and old, but it had been what Nicky was able to afford at the time. Not that it bothered him. A fresh coat of paint to the facade had been enough of a facelift outside. Mediterranean sea had been the color he'd chosen for a reminder of home. And while he spent a whole day on his knees scrubbing the grout between the tiny black and white hexagonal tiles in the front area, great vintage vibes, Niall had commented on the very first time she had visited, he hadn't changed much else. The old style reminded him of the pasticceria back in Italy, so he had leaned into it. The size of the place was probably for the best, too, because for the longest time, Nicky was the sole employee, and not having too many cases and shelves to fill with goods had been a blessing. He focused on a few rotating items each day, batch baking his pastries and laying them out in nice, neat rows behind the glass partition, displaying a variety of loaves piled up on the wooden shelves behind the counter, and slowly but surely, their numbers would dwindle down from morning to lunchtime and into the afternoon. And as his goods dwindled, his reputation began to grow. It wasn't hard when his items were infused with positive charms. The garlic and oregano in his best-selling focaccia brought about protection and good fortune. The thyme in the next bestseller was for strength and courage. The infusion of chamomile in his fiorentelle filling was subtle, but still enough to imbue its properties of comfort. Citrus zest always went into his cannoli fillings for energy and luck. The customers didn't know all the careful magical interactions behind each ingredient selected, but they were still able to feel them. Were they strong enough to actually enchant customers to come back and buy more? No, of course not. But besides, Nicky would have considered that to be cheating. His patrons came back on the strength of his baking and flavors, thank you very much, though the charms were an additional little perk. And if he was able to use his talents to help somebody feel better or put their day on the right track, well, that was part of the satisfaction he got from feeding people. He soon started to recognize the people who returned over and over, to the point where they officially became regulars. He began to build relationships with other shop proprietors along the street. He was even able to afford to hire Niall to work the counter and social media, though that was something she herself had insisted on, since Nicky freely admitted he had no clue about any of that, that freed him up to spend more time in the back actually baking. And that was where he had always felt the most comfortable. Niall was clever and observant, so she must have noticed when he began making up excuses to pop out to the front more often than usual. It had started when he'd spotted the least sign appear in the window of the shop across the road, and if she had asked, he would have said that he was simply curious about what the new business on the block would be, which was true. It certainly had nothing to do with the fact that he had seen a very intriguing man getting a tour of the place a few days prior and hoped that he might be the one moving in. That particular storefront had seen a lot of turnover, so she was likely as curious as he was. She hadn't said anything when the first place his eyes went to every time he came out to replenish the pastry case was that shop across the street, trying to get a glimpse of what was going on through the windows. She hadn't said anything when he dropped a loaf of bread he was shelving, distracted by the mysterious new businessman as he stepped out from his door. But finally, when Nicky parked himself at his shop's front window for 15 minutes, under the auspices of pickily plucking the basil leaves he needed from the dinky little plant that grew in the pot on the sill, she clearly couldn't contain herself any longer. He hadn't even noticed her walk up beside him, too busy watching the man across the street painting some lettering over his doorway, hand-painting his own sign. Nicky appreciated the creative personal touch, as well as the view of a man in well-fitted jeans and a tight shirt perched up on a ladder and stretching in, quite frankly, rather enticing ways. "Nice," Niall drawled appreciatively. "Yes," Nicky immediately agreed, before catching himself. Yes, it will be nice to have a florist in the area." Because now that more letters had taken shape atop the shop, it was clear one of the words was spelling out flowers. And he hoped Niall would buy his fumbling attempt to rationalize his staring. Neighborhood watch? He was simply being vigilant. "Uh-huh," she smirked clearly on to him. "Why don't you go say hi?" "I will," he said, and he fully intended to, as he had when welcoming all new people to their street, but just not at that particular moment, interrupting somebody when they were clearly hard at work. "Eventually." Joe extended a hand in greeting. Instead of moving to shake it, Nicky couldn't help but instead blurt out, "No." "No?" Joe echoed, confused. Nicky, too, was confused, because the usual order of things was askew, and it was causing him to feel more off-kilter than expected. "I was going to come over to you first," he tried to explain, without really explaining anything. The actual story was this. Every single time somebody moved into that storefront across from his shop, he would bake one of his famous focaccias and take it over as a gift and a way to introduce himself. He even had a specific iteration for that particular purpose, studded with olives for fruitfulness in business and fennel for strength and prosperity. It was such a well-worn routine by now that the very last thing he had been anticipating was this man, Joe, his brain helpfully supplied, to make an appearance in his own shop first. And now he was completely thrown off. He didn't even have a single focaccia ready on hand, let alone his gifting variety. What kind of Italian bakery was he running that he didn't have an emergency focaccia waiting on standby? Joe thankfully only seemed somewhat bemused, and damn if it didn't make his eyes sparkle even more. "I'm sorry," he smirked good-naturedly. "I didn't realize it was a race." "Oh, no, of course not," Nicky stumbled, before taking a deep breath and trying to steady himself. He spared a thought to be thankful that Niall had stepped out on her break, otherwise she would no doubt be laughing her head off at him. As it was, he could feel the amused ebullience of his starter on the shelf behind him. "I'm sorry, I just wasn't expecting you. Usually I come over to introduce myself to new businesses, and everybody is always so busy getting set up that they never come here first." "That tracks," Joe easily agreed, with an unbothered shrug. "I've been swamped. So much so that I work straight through lunch. And well, with a bakery only a few steps away, the solution to my growling stomach seemed pretty obvious." Well, that was a problem he could solve. "Right," Nicky smiled shakily, getting back to firmer footing. "May I start again? Hello, my name is Nicky. Welcome to my bakery." "Very nice to meet you, Nicky," Joe said, and the hand that Nicky finally managed to reach out and shake politely, after brushing his own flowery hands onto his thankfully white, as per usual, t-shirt was as warm as his smile, and soft and strong, but that was neither here nor there. "So what's good here?" "Everything," he replied instinctively, and indignantly too, unable to stop his hackles from rising until he saw there was a teasing expression on Joe's face. "Obviously," Joe chuckled, finally tearing his eyes away from Nikki to look over the pastry case. There was still plenty of variety left following the lunch rush. "It all looks incredible. Let me rephrase. What do you recommend?" And Nikki finally managed to turn on his customer service mode, falling back into the familiar script of describing the day's products. The current batch of cannoli were flavored with orange zest for attracting abundance, and the biscotti with cherries, for good works and sweet character, had turned out well. But then his eyes were drawn to his tray of mini crostata with strawberries for good fortune, and when Nikki felt a bubble in his starter burst approvingly, he knew that was the right item to pull. He plated it, omitting asking if Joe wanted it to go, which was not his normal customer service protocol. But if he were being honest with himself, Nikki wasn't exactly looking to rush the man out of his shop and passed it over. He couldn't help but watch intently as Joe immediately took a bite, then closed his eyes and moaned in delight. Nikki's hand shot out and gripped the edge of the counter tightly. "Oh, wow," he declared, while still chewing enthusiastically. "That is the best thing I ever put in my mouth." Another groan followed, and Nikki's other hand grabbed the counter in a death grip. "Madre de Dios," he thought to himself. How he managed to remain upright as he watched Joe devour the rest of the tartlet and then lick his fingers afterwards, Nikki would never know. He always took enjoyment from feeding others, from knowing his food could bring joy and satisfaction and make people feel better, but this was way beyond any of that. This felt almost obscene. The plate ended up placed gently back on the counter, though Joe was eyeing it like he would lick the crumbs off it if it were in any way socially acceptable to do so in public. He finally managed to tear his gaze away, lifting it back up to meet Nikki's eyes as he declared, "I think you're going to be seeing a lot of me." Though Joe's shop was yet to officially open, he told Nikki that he was welcome to come by any time. Nikki decided to do so the very next day, hoping to try and rewrite his awkward first impression as soon as he could, rather than perseverate on it for days on end. He didn't go over empty-handed, of course. Fresh focaccia had come out of the ovens that morning, with one set aside as his intended customary welcome to the neighborhood gift. Intended had been the key word there, however, because when he had reached for the loaf dotted prettily with olives, one that he perhaps might have spent a few more minutes than usual carefully decorating, his starter had given an unpleasant gurgle that had stilled his hand. Something about it hadn't felt right. The olives should have been perfect for charming a new business, but now that he thought about it, none of the enterprises that had moved in across the street had lasted longer than a few months. Nikki wasn't one to second-guess his magic and was quietly confident in his skills. If his bakes weren't having their intended effects, there had to be something else at play, right? How annoying that one's own magic had no effect on them. Otherwise, he would be testing his own bakes himself, to be all the more sure. He'd actually begun to wonder if the shop was cursed. So when an idea for another type of treat popped into his head, he went with it. When his hands reached for a new combination of ingredients, he didn't fight it. After all, a slightly different offering couldn't hurt. And if there was something untoward going on in that space, perhaps it would even help. That was the thought process that led to Nikki walking across the street, carrying a box of bomboloni filled with a pastry cream infused with orange peel for money and business blessings, and then for good measure coated with sugar, pulsed together with mint to promote vitality and energy and drawing customers to a business. He rapped on Joe's shop door, which cracked open slightly, unlatched, so Nikki pushed it open the rest of the way and entered. He immediately felt warmth and comfort, so no, he could immediately tell there was no curse on the shop. Nikki was greeted by the enticing earthy aroma of soil, the zing of freshly cut greenery, and sweet floral notes floating over it all. It felt calming, which was helpful because he then looked around the shop and almost felt overwhelmed at the riot of color and life that was laid out in front of him. Vintage-looking wooden crates and metal pails were laid out in rows and stacked on shelves, organized by color and flower type. There was a large refrigerator holding some pre-made arrangements behind the large work table, where clearly something was in progress, with a few stems scattered about amidst shears, wire, and ribbons. Another huge shelf held dozens of vases and pots in all sorts of colors and materials, interspersed with some potted succulents, cacti, and herbs. And the space overhead was put to use, too, with countless bunches of flowers hanging from the rafters as they dried, creating an effect of being completely surrounded by vegetation. "Nikki, hello, welcome. What do you think?" Joe asked eagerly, stepping out from his back room. He dusted dirt off of his hands and onto his canvas apron before spreading his arms out wide in a ta-da gesture. "It's incredible," Nikki gaped, his plan to extend a more eloquent and articulate welcome to the neighborhood message that he had the day before falling completely by the wayside. "It feels alive in here." That was the only word that came close to describing what he felt. It was as if there was an energy pulsing through the space. "That's exactly what I was hoping you'd say." Joe grinned in delight, and before he knew what was happening, Nikki was swept up in the other man's excitement as he toured him around the shop and showed off the make-your-own-bouquet flower bar area, a succulent propagation station, and the larger nursery area in the back. He spoke of how tending for all his plants calmed him, while the creative side of making arrangements fed his need for artistic expression. He spoke of his philosophy of trying to grow and harvest as much of his stock as he could to try and be sustainable. He spoke of his green thumb being evident from a young age and how he had never considered doing anything else. "Growing things and trying to nurture that spark of life, it just grounds me, you know," he said, simply and straightforwardly. "I do know," Nikki murmured. "It is much the same for me and baking." That was an oversimplification, really. While baking certainly calmed him, and he enjoyed it, it was also somewhat of a necessity, a way to channel the magic within him and externalize it. If he didn't have that outlet, things could get a bit troublesome. But while the existence of witchcraft was not entirely secret, one could never be entirely sure how people would react to magic users. So Nikki decided it was perhaps not a prudent time to broach that topic. "Speaking of," Joe said, eyeing the box that Nikki had deposited on the table. When he opened it to reveal the array of fried goodies, he gasped in delight. He immediately picked one up and took a hungry bite. Just as he had the day before, he let out another sinful sound as he tasted the treat, and Nikki realized that was his cue to leave. "Yes, speaking of baking, I'd better get back to it," Nikki quickly excused himself, inelegantly, but at least truthfully. He had always floundered with accepting praise and compliments, but these sounds were more than just complimentary. He had a feeling that if he stuck around to hear more satisfied moans, then he would give himself some sort of complex. A few hours later, just as Nikki was about to start closing up for the day, Joe made his way across the street. "I devoured that whole box already," he announced without an ounce of shame, "so I wanted to bring you something in return." "That's not necessary," Nikki immediately protested. "It was a welcome gift." But Joe wasn't dissuaded, revealing a potted mint plant from behind his back with a flourish. "Too late. I've already carried it all the way over here. I can't take it back now. I was thinking as delicious as the dried mint was in that sugar coating. Have you ever used fresh? Now you can have your very own supply." "That's so thoughtful of you, thank you," Nikki smiled, touched at the gesture. But in the interest of full disclosure, he had to point to the windowsill at the front of the shop where a few pathetic-looking pots already sat. "I'm not sure if you should trust me with it, though. My thumb is nowhere near as green as yours." "Well, now you have a professional on call to offer you advice." Joe bounded over to the windowsill and placed the pot down in the center. He then reached over to gently stroke the leaves of the basil, which was looking rather worse for wear, even more so in comparison to the lush mint that Joe had just placed beside it. "This little guy is thirsty," he explained. "If you water him every morning, that'll perk him right up." And then, petting the leaves of a rather sparse-looking thyme plant, he declared, "And this pretty girl is getting just a touch too much sun." Before picking up the pot and placing it to the side of the window, where the angle of the afternoon sun had already vanished to leave a patch of shade. "Okay," Nicky said, having no reason to doubt him, "if you say so." "Trust me," Joe told him, with a wink that made Nicky's heart stutter. "I'm a plant whisperer." Joe's advice had indeed been sound. Before long, the plants in Nicky's shop window were unbothered, hydrated, happy, in their pots and flourishing, and many more had since joined them. It had actually started out as somewhat of a battle of goodwill between the two men, each doing their best to be generous and welcoming. Nicky had infused his gift of fresh mint leaves in a batch of panna cotta, and when Joe came over for a mid-morning snack and tried some, Nicky had stubbornly refused payment. Joe had retaliated by bringing over another pot, this one with some delightfully curly parsley in it, and things had only escalated from there. The windowsill had filled up with herbs quickly, with Joe gifting him oregano and sage and rosemary and more. More surprising to Nicky was the fact that it stayed full rather than becoming a plant graveyard. His hands were covered in flour the vast majority of time, so he supposed he could technically be described as having white thumbs, but he had to admit that when it came to plants, his thumbs were basically black. He'd warned Joe repeatedly, but the man had just laughed as he brushed his concerns aside. Yet, miracle of miracles, somehow Nicky had indeed managed to keep them alive. Or maybe the how wasn't so much of a mystery. It was clearly thanks to Joe, who had come across the street on a daily basis for a break and joined him for tea and a snack at the table by the window. In between chatting with Nicky, he would also chat with the plants and check how they were doing, and helpfully point out which needed some attention. Nicky, too, loved the attention. The plants were all thriving, and so, too, was the shop. Nicky's customers seemed to notice his move from store-bought herbs to the fresh ones he plucked from his windowsill garden, and they were effusive with their compliments. He was always happy to mention that they came from the new florist across the street and tried to direct his customers that way. It quickly became a symbiotic relationship, with Joe telling his customers who were buying herbs and edible flowers about their potential uses and encouraging them to head to the bakery to get a taste of how they could use their new plants in their own kitchens. Nicky thought they had established a nice, comfortable routine at that point, until one morning Joe walked into the bakery. There was that cheerful ring again, with a beautiful bouquet in his hands. He'd heard the bells chime to indicate Joe's arrival, and had quickly gone out to the front to greet him, only to be met by the sight of a large vase next to the till. "What's this?" Nicky blinked in wonder. "These are flowers," Joe stated the obvious, a teasing grin on his face. "Violets and pansies, if you want to be specific." "Yes, I can see they're flowers," Nicky huffed, rolling his eyes good-naturedly. He was well used to Joe's teasing by now. "As lovely as they are, may I ask why they are here?" "Well, you don't have room for any more herbs," Joe explained with a grin, gesturing over to the windowsill that was now overflowing with greenery. "So I thought I'd branch out to flowers. People like flowers, you know. They'd be a nice welcoming message to have around the shop." Nicky felt his sourdough starter gurgle as he confusedly asked, "But shouldn't you be selling these?" That prompted a chuckle. "Don't worry, I have plenty of stock. Besides, I was inspired to put these together this morning and thought of you." "Ah," Nicky stumbled for a moment, unsure of how to respond to that. "Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Joe." "You're very welcome," he replied, while biting on his bottom lip, as if to stop himself from breaking out into a wider grin. "But hey, don't try and eat these, though. They're not edible. Or, well, technically, I guess you could eat them, but you probably wouldn't enjoy it." "Noted," Nicky said dryly, fighting the blush that was threatening to appear on his cheeks. because yes, his first thought had been that perhaps the blooms could be used to decorate a pastry or two. Was it so wrong to think practically? He was vaguely aware of Niall waving goodbye to Joe as he left to go back to his shop, but he became fully aware of her when the door shut behind him and she immediately turned and shrieked, "Nicky! That hunk of a man brought you flowers!" So he had, Nicky thought, still surprised, but obviously for business purposes, he rationalized. Clearly he has excess stock to use up, or he wants to test out some new bouquet designs. Niall blinked at him, and then let out a hefty sigh. Right, sure. These are totally business flowers, gotcha. Do you think his store is struggling? Nicky gasped, suddenly anxious and thinking back to the high turnover rate of the shop space. Is this a new way to advertise? Does he need help getting more customers? I'm always happy to send people to him when they want herbs, but the profit margin on those can't be very good, can it? Nicky, Niall groaned, full of exasperation. Calm down. His shop is doing fine. Probably better than fine. I know you don't see all the engagement he's been getting on his Insta, but you've seen all the people going in the door all day long. Yes, yes, you're right, he nodded, breathing slightly easier. He had indeed witnessed a steady stream of customers nearly every day, and there had even been a few instances when Joe was so busy that Nicky ended up taking over a snack for him because he hadn't been able to leave. He didn't recall seeing any of the previous businesses ever have that level of foot traffic, and he told himself that was a good sign. It had to be, because he didn't want to think about the alternative of Joe having to close up shop and leave. Well then, Nicky decided with determination, he was certainly going to do his part to prevent that from happening. When people come in and see these, be sure to tell them where they are from, he instructed Niall. Maybe I will even ask Joe for some of his business cards that we can display beside the vase. Uh-huh. Because they're business flowers, Niall repeated, with a skeptical tone that Nicky decided to ignore. Exactly. He ended up asking Joe for those business cards later that day and received a rather surprised expression in return. Perhaps he hadn't thought of that detail? Before the man laughed and acquiesced. Not a problem, he agreed, a twinkle in his eyes. I'll make sure to include a card with every bouquet from now on. From now on? Nicky had echoed. Because yes, that had only been the beginning. The next week, Joe brought over a bouquet of daisies. The week after that, a grouping of daffodils. It progressed from one vase at a time to multiple centerpieces for all the little bistro tables in the bakery, so any customer sitting down to snack could enjoy the view of a little bunch of asters or bachelor's buttons or a fern. Every time Joe would come bearing his gifts, Nicky's nerves and his starter would stir up. Niall's snickers certainly didn't help matters. You know, if somebody gave me this many flowers, I'd probably take the hint that they were interested in me, she points out with faux innocence one day, eyeing Joe's latest colorful creations of magenta zinnias and bluebells, complete with sprigs of lavender to match Nicky's feature that week of lavender lemon tarts. We are friends, Nicky replied, something he had told her repeatedly by now, and he is a florist, with skills to keep sharp and flowers to move from his shop. I doubt there is any deeper meaning than that. Sure, Niall drawled, rolling her eyes. You're just flower friends, plant pals, business bros, two good buds being all entrepreneurial. Exactly, he said, purposely refusing to engage with what he suspected was sarcasm. Sarcastic or no, it was the truth. They were friends, and Nicky valued that immensely. He had always been a person who took solace in their work. A workaholic, some would say. But ever since Joe had moved in across the street, he actually found himself looking forward to the times where he could take a break and sit down with Joe and talk about anything and everything. Seeing Joe was the highlight of his day, Nicky realized, but it always happened at work. They were either in his place of business or Joe's, because aside from being friends, they were also businessmen, and their respective shops had become intertwined alongside their routines. ignoring the inappropriateness of a proprietor asking out a customer, what would it mean to take a risk that could not only change the nature of their relationship, but also impact their work, their livelihood? It was a risk, one that Nicky didn't know he was brave enough to take. The biggest risk he had taken lately was to switch from his usual brand of parchment paper when a sale had popped up. The resulting bakes had not been up to his standards, and he'd regretted it ever since. Joe would be brave enough, he knew. He had learned from their many chats that Joe had moved to the city on a whim and that he had rented out his store space based purely on a gut feeling. If he had been listening to his brain, it would have told him not to even tour the space because the lease rate had been over his ideal budget, he recounted. But something about the place had spoken to him, and he'd listened. Joe was a risk-taker by nature, and if he felt more than friendship toward Nicky, then surely he would have made a move already, wouldn't he? But he hadn't, and that was fine. Totally fine. Nicky could see the situation for what it was, even with Niall so insistent that he was wrong. But he didn't think that he was, and that was fine. He had a lovely, wonderful, handsome new friend, and a business that was doing better than it ever had. What right did he have to complain? Life was good. Life was not good. Joe had been making some odd statements during their chats recently. Well, they hadn't been odd in context. The two of them covered all sorts of topics, and when Nicky was describing the anniversary cake that he had just decorated, or when Joe was recounting desperate spouses rushing in for a last-minute forgotten birthday bouquet, it was only natural that they started to talk about their respective love lives, or lack thereof. It took, upon later reflection, an embarrassing amount of time after Nicky thought back on Joe saying that it was hard to date as a busy entrepreneur, that he had been single for some time, and that he liked to think he had matured from his choices of party boy himbos in his youth, each statement accompanied with some intense eye contact that perhaps was trying to convey more than what he was outwardly saying, for it all to then start to slot together into a very specific conclusion. "I think Jill has a crush," he blurted out to Niall one morning, the millisecond she came in to start her shift, before so much as a hello. "Yes," she exhaled, throwing her head back and casting her eyes to the ceiling. "Finally!" "You knew?" he cried, unable to stop from feeling somewhat betrayed. "Who is it?" Her jaw dropped at his question. "I'm sorry, did you seriously just ask me who Joe has a crush on?" "Yes. Has he told you?" Nicky started to grill her before freezing and thinking better of it. "No, wait, don't tell me. If he didn't mention it to me, he must not want me to know." "Unbelievable!" Niall gritted out, shaking her head, before spinning around, grabbing a cornetto from the nearest tray, and shoving the whole thing in her mouth. It muffled the disgruntled scream she let out as she turned on her heel and headed back to the front of the shop, leaving Nicky alone in the back with the dough he had been taking out his frustrations on. He looked down at the ball in front of him. It was over-kneaded, he knew, stiff, resistant to being shaped, easily torn. Nicky felt like that too, if he were being honest. He could try and salvage it, he thought, and give it more of a rise time. It would have to rest for now. Nicky, on the other hand, would not be resting. He liked to think he was being selfless, that he could give Joe the little push he clearly needed to admit his feelings to the lucky person who had caught his attention so that he could be happy. However, deep in Nicky's heart of hearts, there was perhaps some selfishness at play as well, hoping that he wouldn't have to dwell on not knowing who this mystery person Joe was pining for much longer. His mind was already spinning painful scenarios of Joe stopping beating around the bush and just outright asking Nicky for romantic advice. For why else would he have started dropping those hints if he wasn't working up to something like that? Not that Nicky had any groundbreaking advice to give. He always defaulted to feeding those he cared most about, and not just because making something with his own two hands that he could pour all of his feelings into had always been much easier for him than facing an awkward and emotionally fraught conversation. That was his tried, tested, and true method, so that was exactly what he decided to do. He started off with a batch of pardule, flavored with saffron for new beginnings. Joe had three of the little cakes over the course of the day and raved about his baking as usual, but that was it. He didn't come back the next day to report that he had a date. And so Nikki proceeded to then make ricciarelli the day after that. They were full of omens for bravery and courage, hopefully to give Joe the prod he clearly needed. But again, it seemingly had no result, other than him spending even more time in the bakery, wanting to devour the entire tray of cookies. That prompted Nikki to take it up a notch. It wasn't often he made baklava. Rolling out your own phyllo was always fussy, but at least he could work out some of his frustrations with his rolling pin. He stuffed it full of hazelnuts for heightened awareness and epiphanies, and even dared to sprinkle in a dash of cardamom for love and fidelity. He was apparently feeling very daring, because during the regular sit-down, he then tried to gently push the issue. "It's harder to meet people when we work so much, isn't it?" he said. "It can be lonely running your own business." Joe, mid-bite, had stopped chewing when he heard that, before quickly proceeding to swallow and nod in enthusiastic agreement. "Agreed! You really need somebody who understands everything involved. The crazy hours, the last-minute requests. I mean, you get it." Nikki had hummed, waiting for Joe to continue. But there was no follow-up to that statement. Joe only proceeded to suck the sticky honey syrup off of his fingers, and Nikki quickly averted his eyes for his own sanity. They landed on a young couple just sitting down at a table outside the shop, doing a bumbling little dance of who would pull out the chair for the other, and blushing furiously. Ah, likely a first date, then. "You must like running a business that can be so romantic," that prompted him to mention. "Absolutely," Joe grinned. "Flowers can send so many beautiful messages." The hand that wasn't occupied with grabbing another piece of baklava began playfully fiddling with the spray of tiny white flowers in the vase on the table between them, and the twinkle in his eyes suggested to Nikki that Joe wanted to say more. But no more words were spoken. A movement outside the window caught his eye, and he watched the young couple pull their chairs closer to each other and lean in. He didn't know exactly what it was about the sight, but he finally blurted out, "You have been single so long as I've known you. You're not interested in dating?" "I suppose I have," Joe mused slowly, but the easy grin on his face had told Nikki that he was in no way upset about it. "It's not that I'm not interested, more that I'm not interested in dating just anybody." "Does that mean you're interested in dating somebody, then? In particular?" Nikki asked nervously, thinking that he was finally getting somewhere. But Joe just gave him an innocent look over the lip of his mug as he sipped his tea. Nikki truly didn't know what Joe was waiting for, or why he didn't want to talk about it, but he was more resolved than ever to give him the boost he clearly needed. Joe deserved every happiness, and if Nikki could play a small part in helping him achieve that, then he was now bound and determined that he was going to do it. The next morning he arrived at the bakery at his typical early hour and decided to go all out. He started making an herb bread. Humble, yes, but his nonna had taught him that the humblest ingredients could still be powerful. And in fact, it had been the first bread he had successfully baked, back when he was still finding his feet and magical touch in her kitchen. Surely that would only serve to enhance his magic. He wasn't going to solely rely on nostalgia, however. He decided to load it with as many herbs as he could harvest from all the pots Joe had gifted him. He plucked thyme for courage and fortitude, rosemary for fidelity, lovage for strength, oregano for love and protection, tarragon for lasting interest. Normally he wouldn't mix so many herbs together, but Joe was proving unusually resistant to his magic. Some people weren't as receptive to his bakes as others, but in general they still felt a little nudge from his spell work. That Joe hadn't taken any action after a few attempts was, well, it was odd. But Nikki was certain in his abilities. He just had to go stronger, that was all, to the point where the poor little plants in the window had been almost completely stripped of their leaves. In they went, into his mortar and pestle, where he crushed them with the proper number of rotations, going clockwise and counterclockwise, first with one hand and then the other. The herbs were then added into his dough, and he began to knead it, pushing and folding and pulling and pushing and folding and pulling in his particular pattern, attuned to the magical properties of the cardinal directions and the numbers of the repetitions. Nicky had been baking long enough and was intimately familiar with all of his recipes that he didn't need to even count his motions. The dough would let him know when it was ready. That was why kneading by hand had always been his favorite thing, his Zen activity where he could let his mind roam and ramble without worry. This time, for this loaf, his thoughts were all focused on Joe. Joe noticed the state of the plants immediately when they sat down together later that day. "What happened to this little guy?" he wondered, running his fingers gently along the newly shorn stems of the tarragon. "I'm trying a very herb-forward recipe," Nicky explained vaguely, sitting down and anxiously placing a plate in front of Joe. It was simple and unpretentious. Just two slices of the herb bread, spread with a dollop of compound butter he had decided to whip up at the last minute, with some rosemary and basil. "For you. Tell me what you think." One of the many things he liked about Joe was his expressive face. It tended to give away exactly what he was feeling, and Nicky was well-versed in the variety of expressions that crossed it when eating his food. It was comforting to know that Joe reacted as positively to the simplest piece of bread as he did to the most complex, sleek-crafted pastry or tallest slice of cake, which was to say, every time Nicky fed him, Joe acted as if it were the best thing he had ever eaten. He was perhaps watching Joe too intently as he bit into the bread. Maybe he wasn't able to effectively mask the expression that crossed his own face when Joe moaned and chased every crumb and complimented Nicky's food as effusively as ever, because after he did, Joe met Nicky's eyes and suddenly paused. He placed his hands flat on the table as if bracing himself. "Nicky," he began, looking oddly nervous all of a sudden, "I told myself I wouldn't do this, because I know it's weird and a bit of an ambush for a customer to do this in your place of business and make things all awkward, but I really hope that at this point I'm not just a regular customer, so..." Nicky's heart leapt into his throat, which had the annoying effect of preventing him from speaking. Before he could cut him off, Joe managed to quickly blurt out, "Can I please take you to dinner? Not just dinner, though. We eat together all the time, obviously. Dinner as in, on a date?" His stomach dropped to his feet. And if it could have dropped lower, then surely it would have. Oh, no. Oh, no. What had he done? The herb shouldn't have had such a quick effect. Could it have been due to the overloading of ingredients? Or, Nicky realized with dawning horror, had he imbued the wrong intent into the recipe? Because it had just become the crystal clear, as Joe directed those words to him, that he had wanted to hear them directed at himself more than anything. Had that desire seeped into his bake? Whatever it was that had unnaturally influenced Joe's reaction, Nicky knew what he had to do. "No," he managed to force out, and a few things happened simultaneously. He heard the shattering of glass from behind the counter where Niall must have dropped something. He felt the lively bubbles in his sourdough starter suddenly deflate, and he saw the hopeful smile slide abruptly off of Joe's face. "Oh," he croaked out, clearly surprised. "Oh, I'm so sorry, I thought..." "Well, it doesn't matter. Clearly I misunderstood." "No, no, let me explain," Nicky quickly tried to say, but Joe abruptly stood. "You don't have to explain anything," he insisted, shaking his head. "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make things uncomfortable. I'm just going to go back to work now." And Joe all but fled out the door. Nicky watched him go helplessly, only tearing his gaze away when he was startled by, from her spot by the register, Niall letting out a loud, "What the actual fuck?" The next morning, when Nicky opened the lid on his starter, he knew it wasn't happy with him. It looked flat and inactive, and even though he took a portion to attempt to make a few boules, he knew they wouldn't rise properly. He started portioning out biga for some other loaves to make up, for what he suspected would be subpar sourdough, but even that didn't work. A few hours and a few batches later, nothing seemed to be coming out of the oven just right. Nicky had pivoted to pastries by the time Niall came in. He had been keeping half an ear attuned for Joe's specific bell chime, but it did not come. Fussy Pasticceria was a good distraction, and he had managed to be extremely productive in churning out more than usual, but these taste sad, stated Niall, eyeing the sporka mousse that she had sampled with a frown, before casting her eyes across the dense-looking bread laid out across the counter and wrinkling her brow. See, Nicky sighed, I am not in a good frame of mind for this today. Yeah, shocker, Niall drawled sarcastically. You have to fix this. I can remake a few batches. I wasn't talking about the baking, she scowled, and you know it. I do know it, he conceded. What I don't know is how to fix it. It wasn't as if he hadn't been unceasingly thinking about it. It had kept him up all night, as he cast his mind over what he might have done to the recipe to have caused Joe's intense reaction, and more importantly, what he could do to try and reverse it. He hadn't been able to come up with a course of action other than coming clean and admitting his mistake. There was no way that could be anything other than a horribly awkward conversation, and Nicky was already dreading it. Even worse, the admission would clear the air, but it wouldn't clear the spell. So really the problem of Joe being unduly influenced would remain, just with him fully aware of the situation and surely hating Nicky for it. The misery must have been clear on his face, and enough to prompt some pity from Niall, because she tittered and sidled over to him, pulling him into a hug. It's going to be okay, Nicky. I won't pretend to understand that weird courtship ritual you two had going on, but I do know that Joe's obviously as crazy about you as you are about him. I'm sure you'll be able to work this out. Nicky went very still in her arms. Courtship ritual? Yeah. What else would you call it? You feed him amazing pastries you make with your own two hands. He brings you beautiful bouquets that are like dripping with romantic meaning. Excuse me? He croaked. All of a sudden, he'd begun to feel ill. Niall must have felt the stress enter Nicky's frame because she released him from her hug. Moving her hands to his shoulders, she stepped back and held him at arm's length so she could pin him with a no-nonsense stare. Do not tell me you still think he's just getting rid of excess stock or whatever dumb explanation you came up with. I thought you realized ages ago. Realized what, exactly? He asked meekly, feeling simultaneously quelled under Niall's scolding glare and confused as to what she was trying to say. Nicky, are you serious? She shrieked, her grip on his shoulders strengthening. At this point, she was shaking him back and forth as she continued. I thought you knew what the flowers meant. How would I know what the flowers meant? Because you know all about what herbs and spices and all that stuff mean. That's your thing, she yelled, finally releasing him to throw her hands up in the air in aggravation. I know about herbs because I use them. Flowers are totally different, Nicky cried defensively. Why would I know anything about flowers that aren't edible? Niall buried her face in her hands and groaned. Oh, my God. Wait, so what do the flowers mean? He wondered. How do you know this? Because I looked them up, she stared at him like it was obvious. Really? Maybe it should have been. Yeah, I stumbled across some floriography info on TikTok, and I kind of went down a rabbit hole from there. Nicky looked at her blankly. I thought TikTok was for dancing videos. Niall stared back at him in silence for a few beats before sighing. I know you pay me to handle all the social media stuff, and that's definitely for the best, but I swear, one day I'm going to sit you down and give you a crash course on what's what. I might not be able to cure your overall gay disaster vibes, but maybe I can do something about your old man vibes at least. With that, she grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out to the front of the shop, to where a bouquet sat in the middle of a table. Pulling out her phone, she poked it a few times before aiming it at a blossom and taking a picture. After a few more taps on the screen, she turned and held it at Nikki's eye level. "Look," she demanded. And he took in a page showing an image of the same flower that was sitting prettily in the vase in front of them. "There's literally an app for that. Snap a pic of the flower and it tells you what it is and what it means. This one is a camellia. The pink ones are meant to symbolize longing. And those white ones symbolize loveliness." "Oh," was the only thing he could think to say. "And last week," she continued, swiping the screen, "Joe brought you asters. Those symbolize love. And the week before that, when you couldn't stop sticking your face in to smell the mimosa flowers, those mean concealed love. And the gardenias mean secret love. Are you maybe seeing a pattern here? Do you think there might be a particular message he's been trying to send?" Nikki slowly let out a long, deep breath. "There's one I'm hoping for, yes. Other than the message that I'm a fool." And in its container on the shelf, his sourdough starter let out the barest beginnings of a little gurgle. Naturally, his first instinct was to go to the back of the shop and start baking. He could try some biscotti di cannella, full of cinnamon for healing, or, no, better yet, something with pistachios, used to break love spells. Surely that would undo whatever spell he had inadvertently spun. However, as his hands reached for the flower, Nikki froze. No, he realized. He couldn't do that. It was exactly what had caused all this trouble in the first place. He didn't want any magical manipulation involved this time. He only wanted Joe's honest and utterly uninfluenced reaction to his apology. He could make something without charming it, obviously. But Nikki didn't exactly trust himself at this point. Whatever had gone wrong hadn't been purposefully done, yet somehow his feelings had still somehow seeped into the bread. He wasn't about to take a chance. That could happen again. Baking something wasn't an option then. Nikki stood at the bench, thinking for a good long while. Much like his bakes, he sometimes needed time to rest, grow, and rise to the occasion. Finally, it came to him. "Niall," he shouted, startling her in the middle of helping a customer. "May I use that app for a moment, please?" 20 minutes later, found Nikki striding across the street, a piece of paper clutched tightly in hand. He paused for a brief moment at the shop door before taking a deep, steadying breath, and then forced himself inside and straight to the counter. Joe wasn't there. Luckily, neither were any customers, but Nikki heard his voice call out from the back, "Be with you in 1 second." Was it his imagination, or did his tone sound less cheerful than usual? Perhaps because it certainly wasn't his imagination when Joe stepped out of his work area and he could see him clearly tense up. "Oh," he said with a definite sense of discomfort. "Nikki, hi. I wasn't expecting you." Nikki cleared his throat and forced himself to calmly say, "I would like to buy some flowers." Joe blinked. Well, you've come to the right place for that." Nikki could see the customer service mask slide over his face, and he knew that had it not been for the prior day's horrible interaction, Joe would have said that in a teasing tone. He would have been playful, instead of then asking, in a voice that was nothing but utterly and completely professionally detached, and thus like a dagger to the heart, "What are you looking for?" He looked down at the first flower jotted down on his list, the one supposedly symbolic of saying sorry. "White tulips, please." Joe gave a quick blink again, but seemed to pull himself together. With a quick nod, he stepped out from behind the counter to where the pail of tulips sat and pulled a few stems out. "And some hyacinths, please," Nikki requested. "Purple ones?" Those were supposedly for regret and asking forgiveness. One of his eyebrows gave an intrigued quirk at that, but Joe proceeded to walk over and pull out a few sprigs. "And some blue ones, too, if you have them." "For making peace, if his source was correct." "We do," he confirmed, reaching over and plucking some from another pail. Looking carefully at the combination he held in his hands, Joe glanced up with what Nikki was relieved to see was a hopeful expression. "Anything else?" Maybe just one more thing, Nicky croaked. Do you have a flower that means I was a complete and utter idiot, and I'm sorry, and I hope you can forgive me? Joe let out a snort at that and brought the bouquet in his hands up to try and cover the smile threatening to break out on his face. So you finally figured out what I was trying to say, huh? With Niall's help, Nicky confessed. She has this app and, well, like I said, I'm an idiot. Totally and utterly. I'll have to thank her, Joe murmured, the start of a small smirk creeping onto his lips. I was wondering how long it might take you. Honestly, I'm surprised you didn't catch on right away. Like I told her, I know herbs, not flowers, Nicky protested half-heartedly. We talked about my black thumb, remember? And yet all this time, you didn't say anything. I thought it was cute, Joe confessed with an unrepentant shrug. I upped my flirting recently. I thought you'd for sure notice that. But I guess I was chalking things up to your obliviousness rather than thinking you were interested. Nicky's heart caught in his throat at that, and he couldn't rush his next words out fast enough. It seemed his own misapprehension had been corrected, but Joe's had not, and he needed to correct the man's assumption immediately. But I am interested. Both of Joe's eyebrows shot up at that, and Nicky could have sworn that his eyes grew larger and shinier, but he wondered, completely fairly, then why did you reject me yesterday? Nicky gulped. He felt like he had a stale hunk of bread stuck in his throat, nothing that would ever be found in his bakery, of course, but he had to power through. I have a confession to make. I'm a witch, and my neck is baking. The bread I made you with all the herbs, it was meant to encourage you to admit your feelings for whoever you had a crush on, he blurted out in a huge rush. That person I had a crush on was you, came Joe's rejoinder, tinged with a fond exasperation. The "you idiot" at the end of his sentence wasn't spoken aloud, but heavily implied. Oh, yes, well, he could feel heat start to rise on his cheeks, and Nicky did his best to stifle it. The point is, it was wrong of me to try and push you into something before you were ready for it. I couldn't in good conscience say yes to you, no matter how much I wanted to. Want to? You didn't push me into anything, Joe laughed, which was certainly not the reaction Nicky had been expecting. I said what I said because I wanted to. I walked into the bakery that morning, and I saw you kneading dough, and got distracted by the way your shoulders were stretching in those ridiculously tight white t-shirts you wear. And when you sat down with me, you had flour in your hair, and I had to force myself not to reach over and brush it off. And when you ate your bread, you had a crumb in the corner of your mouth, and I was about to do something stupid like lean across the table and kiss it off you. There was just something about that day where it all came together, and I decided, no more waiting. I wanted to say something. I had to say something. It was the herbs. Nicky winced, shame growing within him yet again. It wasn't. Joe shook his head insistently before pausing. Then he frowned. Nicky, you do know I'm a witch too, right? Scoozy? Nicky, he exclaimed, throwing his hands into the air. How do you think all the flowers in the shop grow so well and stay fresh for so long? How did you think your herbs replenish themselves so quickly after you harvest them? Nicky blinked. I assumed it just had to do with proper care? Proper care and some additional charms from me. You didn't notice me talking to them, enchanting them. A lot of people talk to their plants, Nicky stated weakly, a full-on blush feeling like it was burning across his entire face. I thought that's all it was. Like you said, I thought it was cute. Let me spell it out for you. I charmed those plants, meaning that when you harvested those herbs for your bakes, your own magic wouldn't have had any impact on you, Nicky realized, eyes widening before he buried his face in his hands. Okay, tell me, please, which flowers are for stupidity? I will buy your entire stock. I will put them all around my bakery, inside and out, for a month or for a year, however long you decide. If you want them to be in the store logo or even a mascot, I'll do it. That would be geraniums. And to be honest, I've never been a fan. Besides, they would clash horribly with this lovely combination you put together. Though, if I could make a suggestion? The amused tone in Joe's voice, the one that told Nikki he was grinning without even having to look at him, gave him the strength to hesitantly peek through his fingers. By all means, I think we've already established that I know nothing when it comes to flowers. I would add some cyclamen. It's known to reinforce romance and increases the potential of a relationship moving into its next incarnation. Yes, yes, absolutely, that sounds perfect, Nikki quickly agreed, exhaling in relief. That is exactly what I came here hoping for. Joe beamed back at him, any traces of stress or unease now thankfully gone. In fact, his tone had shifted to downright gleeful as he brandished the little bouquet in his hands at Nikki with a flourish. He accompanied that with a wink tossed Nikki's way as he drawled, Well, you know I pride myself on my customer satisfaction. The next day, the bakery was once again churning out its usual quality of bread, although in larger quantities, as Nikki had been forced to use up more of the overly exuberant starter that had ruptured forth from its vessel. It would take some time to settle down, surely, but he wasn't worried. It was a reflection of himself, after all, and his own heart likewise felt effervescent and light and ready to burst. He channeled that energy into tray after tray of pastries and cookies, including some Anginetti flavored with rose water for love and desire. When he presented them to Joe later that day, who had burst in accompanied by his delightful chime of bells, he no longer worried about any unintended magical consequences, and Joe lavished his food with praise as he always did. This time, however, their break ended with Nikki being bold enough to reach across the table and brush a speck of sugar from Joe's beard, and Joe tilting his head to drop a soft kiss on Nikki's thumb. Charmed or not, I've always been able to taste the love in your bakes, he whispered. Ah, Nikki grinned. Don't tell anybody, but that is the magic ingredient. The end.